Faith for Pride is a team effort among many organizations, groups, and congregations nationwide. The effort is complex, but the message is simple. Let's protect our LGBTQI+ siblings from religiously tainted discrimination and bigotry. Let's overtly say you are welcome and celebrated. The need is great, and the campaign, led by Interfaith Alliance and its partners, is great as well. Among the many Faith for Pride events nationwide, the Cathedral of Hope in Dallas, Texas, is among the many congregations hosting a Faith for Pride event. And I'm happy to welcome Senior Pastor, the Reverend Dr. Neil G. Thomas, to State of Belief Radio. Reverend Neil, thanks for being with us, and happy Pride.
Happy Pride to you, and thank you so much for having me. I'm very grateful for this opportunity.
So the Cathedral of Hope is recognized as the largest predominantly LGBTQ church in the world, with over 4,000 members. The word has so many negative connotations these days, but maybe we can start redeeming it. Is the cathedral a gay megachurch?
Well, yes and no. Certainly, when it was founded in 1972, the ministry was predominantly for the LGBT community, especially at a time when not many Protestant churches were welcoming LGBTQ+ people. Of course, over the years, that has changed. I believe the ministry of the Cathedral of Hope has impacted many denominations and many congregations worldwide. And so today, whilst we are still the largest predominantly LGBTQ+ congregation in the world, there is also a truth that many, many allies, or parents and friends of LGBT people who have left their churches are now joining us. And of course, the other reality is that as conservative religion in the United States has taken hold, many people have fled conservative, charismatic, contemporary worship experiences and have found a home at Cathedral of Hope.
It's a great answer. You know, Americans love categories and often ascribe a uniformity of politics and concerns to groups like Blacks or Jews or Texans. Mm-hmm. That categorization is generally inaccurate. What are some of the mistakes that people make about the politics and concerns of the LGBT community?
Well, you know, people always say to me, do politics have a place in the pulpit? And I'm very clear to say that, of course, politics have a place in the pulpit. Jesus spoke politics in his own time, to his own culture. Indeed, you can't read the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the poor, blessed are those who are persecuted," without understanding that they were political statements. Now, what we get confused about, I think, in the United States is because of the polarization that we face today, is that people immediately think that you're doing party politics, in other words, Democrat or Republican. I don't believe that's what we do. I believe that we speak to the values of Jesus, which have political overtones. And look, if your party doesn't agree with the politics of Jesus, that's not my problem. I think that each individual has to examine where they stand on the politics of Jesus, the values of Jesus. I prefer to use the values than the politics, and understand then where our faith aligns and what it calls us to be as ambassadors in the world. And I believe that Jesus would be marching in a gay pride parade today, in the same way that he marched with those who were considered outcasts, sinners, prostitutes, all the labels that we give to people these days. That's where you found Jesus, on the margins of society, bringing the margins to the center in a countercultural experience. And if that's not political, then I don't know what it is.
Very nice. How does your affiliation with the United Church of Christ lay the groundwork for the kind of ministry you lead?
We're very grateful, Jack, to the United Church of Christ, because they stand with many of the values that we espouse at Cathedral of Hope. And whilst, no denomination is perfect, the United Church of Christ has also pinned its flag to the mast, if you will, experiencing and celebrating LGBTQ people now throughout the denomination. And whilst, of course, we know that not every United Church of Christ is an open and affirming congregation, more and more every single day are going through what we call the ONA process and are becoming open and affirming. But open and affirming isn't just LGBT people, as indeed at the Cathedral of Hope, refugees, people who are fleeing from their own countries because of persecution, people who are leaving their former denominations, not rejecting Jesus, but certainly rejecting the brand of Christianity that they have found. And quite frankly, the brand of Christianity that we have in the United States now is really Christian nationalism. It's not the Christianity that I believe Jesus came to found more than 2,000 years ago. And people are rejecting it. They're leaving. Some are just abandoning church altogether, which is extremely sad. Others are finding refuge, not only at Cathedral, but in many other more liberal Protestant congregations, both in the United Church of Christ and, of course, in many others. And we know that even today, the United Methodist Church still battles with the ways in which it treats and understands LGBTQ plus people. I think the difference for us is that we say we're not just open and affirming. We are open and celebrating, and that we celebrate people wherever they are on their faith journey.
So speaking of celebration, what made you want to take part in the Faith for Pride campaign on top of the outreach and services that you already provide?
We think it's really important that in a world as we find ourselves today, polarized around party politics, around the lines of religion, in a way that demonizes people, that it was an important moment for us to stand with our interfaith partners and to begin to speak up and to speak out against Christian and religious nationalism. Pride Month is a great opportunity for us to do that and aligns ourselves with many other interfaith partners who are raising the mast, not just around LGBTQ people, who quite frankly are under attack right now. The new transgender laws about women in sports here in Texas, the GOP has just laid its foundations for the next legislative process, basically saying that LGBT people are intrinsically evil and that really have no place in the GOP. That it really is important for us now to say this is a faith concern, and as people of faith, it's important for us to speak up and speak out. Jesus wasn't silent. The prophets before Jesus were not silent. The prophets after Jesus have not been silent. And no change takes place in the United States without religious people, in this case, LGBTQ plus religious people, making their voice heard and saying, this is not what we believe God represents, not just in our country, but in our world.
So tell us about the Faith for Pride event that you organized.
So we actually have a whole month of Pride events at the Cathedral of Hope this year. It's the first year we've been back since COVID, really. And so we decided to take this whole month to highlight some of the impact of Cathedral in the interfaith, interreligious, and of course in the Christian world. And so we started off the very beginning of the month with our Pride event. That's Pride in Dallas as well. We took to the streets, we marched, we staffed some booths at the Pride Festival. We moved on then to, of course, remember Orlando and the folks that were brutally murdered and lives were taken in a Pulse in Orlando. We then did a Juneteenth, which linked, of course, the plight of Black LGBT people. And the understanding that Juneteenth and Pride have some interconnections, and we need to acknowledge that and represent it. And then, of course, this Sunday, which is for World Pride Sunday, we will be celebrating our LGBT people and our faith. And that's really what we've been doing with the Interfaith Pride events, is really linking our faith with our gender identity, sexual orientation, and understanding that our faith impacts every piece of that.
Reverend Neal, this is a time of unprecedented organized assaults on the LGBTQI plus community. And certainly, as you mentioned, we've seen a lot of it in Texas, in addition to what's going on nationwide. Almost every time, religion is being used to justify these assaults. So what is the role that faith leaders can play in pushing back against this terrible trend?
That's a great question. And I think that that is something that I think we are grappling with and making decisions about right at this very point. Not about whether our faith impacts, but how do we frame our message in such a way that makes the biggest impact, because these attacks are incredible. And quite frankly, I think it is a statement about white supremacy. I think it's a statement about anyone who is considered other. And of course, LGBT people, women's bodies, black and brown people are targets of this unprecedented attack. And I think we align ourselves together. I quite frankly say that if your God hates the same people that you hate, then you've missed. This is not God. This is not the God of love. Not the love is God that we read of in the scriptures. I also say that if your religion discriminates, it's time for you to get a different religion, because religion has always been about love. It's always about extending the table. It's always about knowing this sense of who we are as individuals, and to work out our own salvation, work out our own relationship with God. And quite frankly, most of this is about imposing somebody else's God on a community, on a rule of law. And, you know, here in the United States, we believe in the separation of church and state. I believe in the separation of church and hate as well, but with separation of church and hate. And when these laws, which are, you know, in our secular world, or religious laws are being imposed on a secular world, we have just missed the mark. And as people of faith, it is time for us to speak up. Martin Luther King spoke up for black folks. We need to speak up for the LGBT community. But because the attack is on so many different groups, this is an opportunity for us to come around, to speak into our values, and to highlight this religious nationalism that is taken over and taken hold in the United States of America. And I think the end game ultimately is, I think that you know, conservative, white, evangelical, not to label too many, or to say that all those people have the same intent, but I think that the overall is to make America a Christian country. We're already rewriting the founding fathers' statements. We're already injecting our own philosophy and theologies into where America came from. And God help us if we want to impose this kind of law that somehow we believe is Christian on the masses, because, well, frankly, people of other beliefs or other traditions will not have a place at the table. And I think we are on a slippery road. I think we're in dangerous ground. And I think people of faith need to wake up and to speak up and to speak out and to speak into reality what they know about this God that we speak of. And that God is always about love.
So we know that there are networks of congregations across the United States with a special mission to LGBTQI plus individuals. Are you also building networks of congregations and pastors without a specific mission, working toward defending your congregants and their families?
Yes, the simple answer to that question is yes. Of course, we're making those networks in our own denominations and across religious lines, and also making those alliances real. I happen to be this year the co-chair of Faith Forward Dallas. It's the largest network of progressive interreligious clergy here in Dallas-Fort Worth area. And we have already placed on our agenda for 2022-2023 LGBT rights and concerns. And this is from folks who are from the Muslim background, the Hindu, Christian, Jewish, Baha'i, you know, a number of different faith organizations, religious organizations coming together to actually speak our values are getting ourselves ready for the 2023 legislative process. So yes, those networks are vital. You know, we have stood behind, especially our Muslim community when they're under attack here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. It's important now that they come alongside and stand behind us as we face, as you said, some unprecedented attacks.
And they will look to you for examples of the kinds of services that they should be providing to the LGBTQI plus community. Would you talk about some of the things that Cathedral of Hope does in providing support that is both temporal and spiritual?
Well, obviously, spiritual is our bread and butter daily business. So I think that we provide that all the time. We do regular courses on sexuality in the Bible, helping people reclaim and reframe their faith experience, especially folks who have come from churches that have not been affirming and who have told them that God doesn't love them. We do a tremendous amount of work around some of the conversion therapy and ensure doing a lot of that repair. You know, most of this results in drug and alcohol abuse, where people are hiding and masking the pain of the past. We know that instances of homelessness in the LGBT community is much higher than the general populace. We also know that rates of suicide are much higher, especially in gay youth. So we have programs and outreach and mechanisms and methodologies in which we try to provide both temporal and spiritual resources for a wide range of folks who have come from a wide range of religious and toxic abuse. And that is the work that we are committed to. It's the work that we will continue to be committed to, no matter how diverse Cathedral of Hope becomes. And it's work that is vital. You know, here in Texas, in Dallas, if you're not in a federally government business, you can be married today. You can put a picture of you and your spouse on your desk, and you can be fired from your job. And if you live in rented accommodation, you can be evicted from your accommodation just solely based on the fact that you're a LGBT person. That, and of course, here in Dallas and Fort Worth and globally, the high instances of black trans women who are being murdered is out of control. These are the things we need to focus on. These are the things that we need to make a difference on. And these are the things that we hope that Cathedral of Hope and through our networks and our global partnerships, we can highlight and make a difference in our world.
God bless you for all of that, Reverend Neil. How can our listeners find out more about your ministry?
Well, of course, go to our website, cathedralofhope.com. We stream our worship services. We know that they are accessed throughout the world. From there, they'll be able to get any of the resources that we hope will make a difference in people's lives. And of course, always feel free to email me at seniorpastor@cathedralofhope.com. I will commit to at least make a response. And if I can't connect people locally, I can connect people around the globe, because there are people and churches and synagogues and temples that are doing similar work that we are doing that will impact people's lives.
And listeners, if you're in Dallas, be sure you stop in and hear Reverend Neil in his Texas accent preach the gospel.
Thank you for that.
Reverend Dr. Neil G. Thomas is senior pastor at the Cathedral of Hope in Dallas, Texas. The 4,000-strong congregation is celebrating Faith for Pride this month in concert with congregations and other groups nationwide. Complete information on the Faith for Pride campaign, who else is taking part, and what events are still to come is available at faithforpride.org. Reverend Neil, thanks so much for taking the time out of your vacation to be with us on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you, Rabbi Jack. It really has been an absolute honor. Thank you.